The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 9 of your notes, if you can find that, around Roman numeral 13 or so. All right, let's take the customary time to get ourselves in fellowship and otherwise disposed to take in the Word of God. The believer in Jesus Christ has the apparatus, if you will, to assimilate divine viewpoint. And that apparatus includes, of course, the indwelling ministry and the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. To be led of the Spirit is to be led, in this instance, into truth and a better understanding and appreciation of whatever we are dealing with. There's volition. There's you overruling your sin nature and getting your attention on the topic. Now, if you hate the topic, well, we're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. And I'm going to try to point out this evening that sound exegesis completely destroys this idea that this fake science, sound exegesis, whereby, well, we'll get to it. Let's take the usual time to get ourselves in fellowship and ready to move forward in this Bible class. God put us here. We're here in this moment in time, so let's make the most of it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we assemble ourselves under the royal imperative to grow in grace and knowledge. We thank you that you have not left us in the dark with regard to the nature of your creation. We ask that you continue to bless us and keep us strong in the faith, as this is a major part of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're following the pattern of Genesis and then going to the rest of the Bible for supporting an additional information with regard to the creation with particular emphasis on our earth. Guess what? Our earth is not moving. It's stationary. That's what the Word of God teaches. It cannot be moved. It can be shaken. And it will, on the day of the Lord, be shaken like a shack. There's a verse in Isaiah, I believe. With all the earthquakes and stuff going on in the trib, that's not hard to imagine. But it is not moving in any direction. The earth is central. It's the largest. And enclosed above it is the sun, moon, and stars. We made a big point, or I tried to anyway, hopefully it came across to you, that the moon is a light. Now let me back up on something here. Anytime we find a statement in Scripture, it is not to be, there's never a statement in Scripture that the exact opposite is true. No one talks like that unless they were trying to deceive somebody. If someone tells you something, there isn't this opposite meaning. It was real hot today. Yes, it was. It doesn't mean it's something different. This is what, and we will nail certain evangelicals, believers, with regard to the topic of the nature of the earth and all the rest of it. When they come across this, they flip it. If the Bible says the sun stopped, it doesn't mean the earth stopped. If you can do that with the Bible in these verses, what chance do we have elsewhere? But they do it selectively. Creation Research Institute. They believe in the 7-day week and what went on in each of those successive days. They don't take them as ages. It's ridiculous. We're just reporting what it says. They don't take them as there's out there probably somebody who does, but they don't take them as ages, metaphorical. But they do when it comes to statements that violate their view of astrophysics. And they have a term for it. They call it phenomenal logical. Phenomenal logical. And yet in their statement of faith, they believe the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God, right down to the words. And yet, when they come to this topic, they contradict it. Because it doesn't suit them. So, how can you take a selective group of scriptures and say the language isn't literal and flip it and make it the opposite? The earth cannot be moved, yet it's moving like crazy, spinning and running around the sun in their view. And it cannot be moved. Or the one I gave you, the sun stopped and the moon stood still. You ought to see the gymnastics that get involved with that one. Because you only have two choices. Either the sun stopped moving in its path over the earth on that day, that momentous day, or the earth stopped. The only way you could lengthen it, give a longer day to have a longer time to defeat the enemy on that occasion, those are your two choices. And yet the Bible says this, and if someone says something and it's straightforward and that's all just narrative, because if we could do that with that and call it phenomenal logical, we could do it with any other topic in the Bible. Turn it on its head. Make it the exact opposite of what it says. And we are Christians who have affirmed over and over that we believe and hang our faith and our trust on the direct statements of Scripture. Now, in the Bible, there are things that appear to be apparent contradictions but are not real. Like salvation is by faith apart from works. Yet we have a verse that says, work out your own salvation. Well, you all know what that's about. That's the other salvation. That's deliverance from shame and loss at the Bema seat. That's a deliverance. You have to do nothing to add to your phase one salvation. So we can't take verses and just say, well, it means the opposite. In any of my hermeneutical books, and by the way, hermeneutics is the science of biblical interpretation. In any of my hermeneutical books, there's nothing about, they just coined and came up with this BS term, phenomenal logical, specifically to undermine the view that is widely held with regard to the nature of our universe, sun, moon, stars, earth, and so forth. They came up with this. Because it is not an axiom of hermeneutics. In fact, hermeneutics isn't some special, secret, mystical science. It's the same we use to analyze any document. Any document. Anything that is written or said. It's a science of interpretation. In this case, the study of the Bible is biblical hermeneutics, which deals with the different things that the interpreter and the exegete has to encounter. Original languages, historical setting, and so forth. And comparing Scripture with Scripture to determine the body of truth with regard to a particular topic. It's called biblical hermeneutics. Now, yes, people can misunderstand what someone is saying. Now, I understand that. But these are direct statements in the Bible, emphatic statements, relative to the nature of the earth and the creation with its dome, with its not moving, with the sun is moving, the moon is moving. I gave you all these verses in the Bible. What are we going to do, just turn them over? I'm not, because then that would just absolutely, my whole faith would implode with regard to the Bible. We may not understand something in the Bible. That's one thing. With further study and time, but we don't resort to selectively picking a topic and saying, in that case, it means the opposite of what it says. That is unworthy of God and His Word. In any way, humans bear witness to anything, where they are bearing witness to something. There's no trickery involved here. And no one can say, well, they couldn't have understood what we know today. They sure could have. In fact, God could have revealed it to them, made it clear to them. They were very humanly intelligent and capable people, that even pagans could have understood something. They're not Neanderthals, if there was such a thing. They aren't somebody that is mentally impaired. They did a lot of study of these things. Anyway, point 13, scientism. We have a lot of these isms in the world. You know, scientism is unproven science. That is theoretical. And anything that has attached to it the theory of means it is yet to be proven to be true. Go to your dictionary and look up the word theory. Theory, theoretical. It's quite a bit different than that which is observable and has been proven through a proper approach. Evolution is in complete opposition to Genesis 1, 20 through 31, the origin of living things. Evolution and the biblical view of the origin of plants, because we're dealing with the evolution of the species, plants, animals in the different categories, and humans. It's a theory. And it's far from anywhere close to being proven. In fact, there are good scientists who says it's unworkable. There's a book in our library, I believe, called Darwin's Black Box, by a biologist who makes it clear. And his buzzword in there is, in the book, irreducible complexity. You cannot downgrade these organisms and see them coming up a ladder they would never have survived. That's common sense. They came full-blown with the ability of adaptation and various things. But they came full-blown, whether it was plants, animals, fish, birds, humans. They were set on this earth by the Creator, full-blown. And this whole idea of the Cambrian era, when all this blew up and stuff started happening, they make it up. in warped minds who are God haters. Or they would simply say it has the mark of the genius of an all-powerful creator. Let's just stop there. Well, that's theology, not science. That's how they play the game. You know, the little chart with the monkey and the ape, and it works its way up the ladder. Anyway, evolution stands in opposition. We had an introduction to evolution when I was in the, believe it was my sophomore year in high school in Hot Springs. And then we got past that, and we went into things you can study, you know, dissecting a frog, parts of a flower, those kind of things that are observable. We had that. And then we had earth science. Oh, God help you there. Earth science. I don't remember hearing about the Big Bang theory, but it was around. Theory of gravitation. Sir Isaac Newton. He said it was a theory. You know the proverbial apple falling, why does it fall from the tree? Genius. You're a genius, and you ought to say, because the damn apple is heavier than air. And anything heavier than air falls. If it didn't, it'd float. And there isn't a mysterious force, you know, holding everything and everybody on the earth. And holding the earth in orbit to the sun and all the rest. It's too problematic. In earth science, we were told that's why we have tides, because of the sun pulling on the ocean. But if you study tides carefully, you realize it doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's another factor going on that produces tides, ebb and flow. And it isn't the moon. Theory of gravitation. Yes, I believed it. I feel bad about this. On a flat earth, you don't need any gravity. You don't need any mysterious force. And I saw that. Who's that spokesperson for the NASA? Person in his audience says, what is gravity? It was the most convoluted, unclear stuff he spewed forth. It's just like, what? Because it's made up. So, while the word gravity and gravitation's in our vocabulary, there's no such thing. We don't need it. We're held down because we're heavier than air. If you think about it, what holds all these people on the earth that are on the bottom side of the ball? Oh, this gets nuts. This gets nuts. They're up as our down, and our down as they're up. Confusion. God is not the author of confusion. We're not all buildings and people are all little different angles around a ball. Get you a ball, stick little pins all over in it, and that's buildings and people. Big Bang theory is in opposition to Genesis 1:1 and other statements in Scripture. A Jesuit did that. Our big institutions bought into it, like Harvard. He was honored in these big schools as some sort of a, he got an answer where matter came from and how it, with this explosion and the Big Bang still going on apparently. I don't know. It's just insane. It's no crazier than what the pagans believed about the origin of things. Because the pagans asked, where'd things come from? So they attributed it to this deity and to this one, and on and on and on they went. So the Big Bang Theory completely violates Genesis 1:1. In a beginning, God, Barad, ex nihilo, created the heaven and the earth. Theory of relativity. Einstein. Yeah, he had a high IQ, but he was corrupt. He's a part of what the Bible called the wise. Those wise. Not good wise people, but smart people. Theory of relativity was designed to nullify the Michelson-Morley experiments. These two fellows were physicists who believed the earth was round and spinning and set out to prove it was so with legitimate experimentation, and it proved the opposite. Michelson-Morley, you can look them up. Around the turn of the last century, demonstrating in their legitimate experiments, not just a theory, that the earth is not moving. You won't ever hear about those in school unless you look it up. Most physicists probably haven't even heard of them. Modern astrophysics contradicts the origin of the earth with its dome and the origin of the sun, moon, and stars, which we have set forth in Genesis. Now, if you're ashamed of the Bible in the face of those out there, then you're ashamed of Christ. It's that simple. Well, I don't want to be laughed at. Well, then you shouldn't be here. I don't want to be ridiculed. You shouldn't be in a Bible class where sound doctrine is taught. It's not a part out there. The God of this world has propagated these lies to discredit and invalidate God's word, to hide God, because they are godless, antagonistic, notwithstanding that there are Christians who are scientists who have bought into this, part of the thing. The thing is, Satan knew that he had to get to humans another way rather than the typical pagan, idolatrous systems. So this came along with the Age of Enlightenment. That's what they named it. We're going to get rid of all the... We're going to get past all the stuff, basically the Bible. They may not have said it that way, but that's what they were trying to do. Divorce education and everything from the Bible completely. It was called the Age of Enlightenment, where man is the center of all. Science, so-called, must not be allowed to take precedence over the clear statements of the Word of God on any topic, and this would include history or any other factors. There's been a lot of things in the Bible that they said was wrong, and then they found out, oh, that guy really existed. He really existed. And we got a lot of details about him. Oh, okay, oops. Some scientific facts prove a non-rotating earth. Water cannot adhere to a spinning ball. You need a frontal lobotomy to come up with that. Water adhering to a spinning ball. Okay, gravity. But it would have to be so strong that a bird couldn't fly over the water. Water cannot run uphill. We don't have any instances of it naturally running uphill. I've told this to people. They can't give any refutation. There's nothing in any of the books that says, hey, people, we got a river on earth, the second longest one, and it's running uphill. Any fool can look at a globe and find out where the Nile starts, its headwaters, deep in Africa, and it runs north and dumps into the Mediterranean Sea. It doesn't run, quote, downhill. It runs on a gradient. And the elevation at the headwaters versus the elevation at the conclusion, there's not, but I've been told, not but a foot's difference, hardly. A few inches. Wow. And yet it runs uphill. It would have to. Do I need to bring a globe in here and show you? You'd have to crawl uphill, over the curve, over the equator. Doesn't do it. There ought to be books about it and songs about it. the river that flows uphill. They're dead silent. They play games. They know this. They gotta know this. That shows you how corrupt they are. No adjustments have to be made by aircraft to fly due to curvature. There's not some special thing in an airplane that keeps that little nose down as it goes around this thing. Somebody's in my face in my office and says, gravity pulls the nose down. Oh, how convenient. You just made that up, didn't you? Because you never thought about it before. Why doesn't gravity pull the tail down? Does it discriminate? That's what they say. That's what someone said to me. An otherwise smart person. Construction of railroad tracks and bridges do not factor in curvature in their blueprints. It would be a whole new ball game if you had to do that. If the earth had curvature, then an adjustment of 8 inches per mile squared, spherical trigonometry, would have to be taken into account during navigation of airplanes and submarines, as well as construction of bridges and roads, etc., etc., etc. And nobody has to do that. The drop would be so terrific, it would be ridiculous. Take a state that's really flat. Well, they say Florida is the flattest one. But Kansas always has the reputation for being flat. Imagine what the highways would be like. We wouldn't even be living on this. We couldn't have survived a year on this. We'd been so miserable. This bridge, Dangyang Kunshan Bridge in China, was built in 2011 and is 102.4 miles. No curvature, was taken into account by its engineers. Flat. Dead flat. Any bridges that are built with curvature are for practical reasons. Get ships under it. And the bigger ones that can't get under, in the case of the Golden State, they raise it up like this so they can get through. Not because of any curvature. The horizon is always level. Remember your vocabulary, horizon, horizontal. Hence the expression sea level. Many experiments have been done with lasers and lights going from one spot to the next, and it's straight on, point to point. Otherwise, it wouldn't curve down and reach its destination. They've done it across Great Lakes, they've done it across the Gulf, they've done these experiments. They've done it from Crete to the mainland. Straight on. It says on the NASA website that one of our members ran it down, that all air flight is predicated on a flat earth. And you read that and you go, really? It's on their website. The liar's website. But they have to be practical. In the real world, this is how this works. There's a lot of other stuff you can look up and study if you want to. With curvature, there'd be no such thing as planes. We probably wouldn't call an airplane if we were on curvature. We'd probably call it something else. Plane. I know those are two different spellings, but still. This other book that you might want to read, I got this off of Amazon. The Greatest Lie on Earth, Proof That Our World Is Not a Moving Globe, Edward Hendry. And it's well done. It's a lot of pages. There's pictures, not any nice color ones, but what do I turn to? The UN flag. Flat Earth. What were they thinking? Somebody forgot? Hey, put a globe up there. Dummy. They put a flat Earth with this stylized wall thing around it to imitate the wall thing. It's on their flag. Whoa. They're thumbing our nose at us. You bunch of dummies out there. They know better. Not every person, but these top people, they know better. They got to. You know, somebody says, you know what proves that we have a spinning ball? All these nations have a space program. Oh, okay, that proves it right there. India, China, Russia, even Israel, and of course the U.S. all have a space program. The leaders of the nations know the true nature of the earth with its dome and the location of the throne room. I don't mean everybody walking around, but these top people know. The aborted Tower of Babel, designed to reach the third heaven, was with the full knowledge that the earth was flat. Now, I was taught in school, right? You could say right or wrong about things, but I was taught, right, and it was always ridiculed, that all the ancients and the ancient nations all believed in a flat earth. And you can go back and get a list of all of them and see if that's the case. Like China. Like whoever. They believed in a flat earth. And all those silly people. And say, show a little picture of a boat going over the edge. This is going to debunk it, right? They don't take into account that God put a barrier up there to keep the water in. But anyway. We were taught that in school. I don't know to what level they teach any kind of ancient history anymore at even the high school level. Things have been watered down and we're off distracted by other stuff. Some of it's okay, but some of it, they don't need to know that. Yeah. They want to know that, make it a specialty and go to college. The aborted Tower of Babel, designed to reach the third heaven, was with the full knowledge that the earth was flat and domed, sitting just beneath the throne of God. The account of the rebellion at the Tower of Babel and the building of this tower is found in Genesis 11, 1 through 8. The human race, apart from the righteous that were still around, were not fulfilling God's edict, which they knew as his edict, because they had one language, and that was to spread out and start nations and start inhabiting this great big earth of ours. They didn't do it. They congregated in what we call Iraq and that was the original Babel. So they were going to build a tower to reach to heaven. That's what it says. Let us build a tower in Genesis 11, 4 and 7, to reach into heaven. And I used to just think that meant just a big, long, tall tower. And then that whatever they were going to do up there on the top of it. You say, well, it would be insane, knowing what we know today, to build anything that high. Yeah. But they were in a state of rebellion. The idea was they want to overthrow the throne of God. That's how rebellious they are. They have the spirit of the evil one in them. Psalm 2, especially verse 2, indicates an awareness of who and what Jesus Christ is. Uh, Psalm 2. That's one of my favorites on the last days stuff in the Old Testament. I like this a lot. This is the rebellion of the nations. The human race is divided among the righteous and the unrighteous, among the believing and the unbelieving. Of course, there's a lot of corrupt believers, I understand, but in the day of the Lord, the nations are in uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing. Why? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together. They get together against the Lord and against His anointed. They don't say, hey, we don't believe in Jesus Christ. We don't believe it. There's those out there that don't, and we'll say that today. But in the day of the Lord, they are brought face to face with the reality that Christ is coming back. They're having these judgments and the things of the tribulation and the removal of all these believers from the earth and these worldwide announcements. And the two witnesses in the Middle East who are going to set the record straight and back up their words with judgments, environmental, that will fall, that will get everybody's attention. Otherwise, you could just ignore them. It's two crazy prophets. But they can't. And then when they try to kill them and they're frustrated, this further adds to their luster. So there'll be a constant news feed with regard to what they're saying. This is going to happen in Bangladesh, as a for example. And it happens. Some plague, some judgment. As often as you read account in Revelation 11. So God, as He did in the days of Moses and the Pharaoh, He's going to get the attention of the world. He's going to get their attention. Well, they'll just say it's aliens. Well, that ain't going to work. Aliens don't work with a flat or domed earth either. I have people in my church believe, oh, there's aliens out there. Well, really? Well, people see UFOs. Oh, really? What do you think they are? One of three things: a hoax, some man-made deal, a hologram, or demonism. Whatever. But it's not visitors from out there. You eliminate that and put it in here, then that makes no sense. But you hear reports of this all the time. What's the latest one I heard? Oh, the earth's spinning faster. I caught that one twice. NASA put it out. I guess they got some way of checking that. So, what do they say? Let us tear their fetters apart. That doesn't sound to me like they are denying the reality of the Lord and His anointed. The Lord is the Father. His anointed is Jesus Christ. Let us tear their fetters asunder. Man will be confronted with God almost like never before. And they will react by the usual rebellion that we're going to persevere and prevail. That's what they're doing down here. They're not saying there's no third heaven. There's no Father. There's no Son. There's no coming of Christ. You read the book of Revelation. They hide in the rocks because they don't want to face the wrath of the Lamb. The Lamb will be the title for Christ. I think that's appropriate. I mean, yes, He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Ferocious animal. But a Lamb? The wrath of the Lamb? I think they picked that up because of the preaching of Moses and Elijah. How did John the Baptist introduce Jesus to those that came out to his baptism? By the way, we have a thing posted on baptism. If you haven't been baptized, it is the directive will of God for your life as a believer. If you want to sign up for that, it's there on the board. What did John say about Jesus when he showed up on his singular visit to John's site where he was baptized? And the first and last time on this earth, they saw each other. They were cousins. He said, "Behold, take note, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. John's theology was spot on. So the Lamb will be the title for Christ, and the title for the Antichrist, besides his regular name, will be the Beast. Let us tear their fetters apart, restraints. We see a lot of that today. Let's throw off the restraints of morality, common sense, you know, what they call wokeism and communism. That was throwing off the restraints. Manifest in John Lennon's song, Imagine. It's pure communist. Imagine there's no property. There's no heaven above. There's no nations. Whoa! Let's inculcate the youth with that one. Go back and look at the words of it. It counters everything in the Bible. Vain imaginations. They want to overthrow the divine order. They call that's the old order. We want a new order. A new order of things. So these are the fetters. A fetter is a restraint upon human immorality and other factors. That's really centered in that deal called WEF. It's not a wrestling organization. It's the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, with that Rothschild, Klaus Schwab. You will own nothing and you will be happy. He will own nothing and he won't be happy. Know that. It's another deal for these satanic one-worlders. Now, what's the response from the third heaven? Which isn't millions and millions of light years out there, gang. It's a few thousand miles straight up. You'd get there. He who sits in the heavens laughs, literally. The Lord scoffs at them. Pathetic jackasses. He will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, "But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain." And then all that comes to Christ as his inheritance. So this all indicates collusion based on the fact they know the truth about the nature of the earth, all the while keeping the masses fooled. But I think eventually that dam is going to break. That's my opinion. It's going to break. It already is breaking. People are getting wise to it. I hear reports. I don't put up all this talk. It says 30% of Russians believe it's flat. And this trend started, somebody said, around 2014 on the internet. A bunch of evangelical churches are jumping on board with it. Or a number of them. Some of them, you're not going to change them no matter what. They're going to have to go to phase three. Hold their head down. You know, there's some people you could argue it every way, show them everything. It's ideological. It's a religion. It's like a... Well, what it is, it's an example of love not the world and the things that are in the world. And that doesn't just mean material stuff. It refers to ideological stuff. So why is a flat earth with its stylized ice wall featured on the United Nations flag? You know what somebody told me? They're trying to fool us. Yeah, that's a pathetic way to do it. Like the average person looks up there, hey, they're trying to tell me the earth's flat. Come on. They're trying to fool me. No, they're trying to thumb their nose at us. They know damn good and well it isn't a globe. They know it at the highest levels. They know we didn't go to the moon and back. They know all this. What kind of leaders do this to their people? worldwide. I don't know of a nation that's... There may be somebody out there that has it right, that's in a high position, but I don't run across them. All right, we'll stop here. See you tomorrow night. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, continue to build us up and encourage us in these last days. In Christ's name.